One, welcome back to another episode. It's Stephanie, and just a disclaimer, me and my guest have cold, so please just bear with us. I'm just gonna let her introduce herself real quick.
Okay, hi, this is Mimi. What am I going to say?
What's your name? If you want to tell us your age and what you do.
Okay, so this is Mimi. I'm grown, and I'm the operations manager for a nanny care company called omugwa.com.ng. So yeah, that's what I do.
Omugwa as in pregnancy, as in?
Yes, basically postnatal care and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, mad. What did you study in school?
Psychology.
Do you know what? This is so perfect because when we get into the episode, we're going to talk about this thing that you just mentioned. But can you tell our listeners how we know ourselves?
Okay, so basically, me and Stephanie, we have like a mutual friend, and also from Twitter, basically. So that's just it. Mutual friends, Twitter, yeah.
And it's also so weird because like you live in Port Harcourt as well, and I was in Port Harcourt, and we're supposed to see in Port Harcourt, but we never got to see.
Somehow our schedules just didn't work out. I don't know what happened, but yeah, it's true.
All right, so if you're asked to describe yourself in 3 words, how would you describe yourself?
Okay, so in 3 words, I would say I am resilient, I am adaptable, and I am complicated. Yes.
Okay, well, I usually ask this, my listeners know, I usually ask this so people, when people get right into the episode, they kind of understand you from these 3 words that you describe yourself as. So people have to expect a complicated story from you and whatnot. Are you very excited to get into it?
Yes, I am. It's my first time on a podcast, and yeah, I'm excited.
For real?
Yes, actually.
Wow, I'm so excited. We'll be right back after the break. Hi, everyone. I'm just going to make this quick, short, and easy. Stop, you know. Go to my social media right now. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever it is. At Mbachi Stephanie. MBACHUSTEPHANIE. Follow me right now. Follow me everywhere you find me. Just search for my name, Mbachi Stephanie, and follow me real quick. Then on my bio, you'll probably see a link. Click on that link. Engage my short story. Engage my newsletter. Engage everything that I put out there. Engage my articles right now. Do it right now. Please, do it right now, real quick. Thank you. Love you. Enjoy the episode. Today's topic is basically invalid dreams. You know, and I just thought like Mimi was the best person because currently we're in our mutual friend's house, obviously. I just thought you were the best person to have this conversation with prior to like the conversation we're having in the morning. You know, everybody was just very heartfelt, everybody was deep in the process and whatnot. So we're just gonna jump right into it. Before we go into invalid dreams, I just kind of want to know, I want the audience to know like how you grew up. So how would you describe growing up?
Okay, so growing up was, like I said before, it was complicated. Yes, so I had good times, but I had a lot of bad times too, because like I'm an orphan. I don't like to say I'm an orphan, but both my parents are dead, so I grew up with like extended family and things like that. So it's been up and down, up and down, up and down, but I'm here, I'm fine, I'm cool. So thank God.
I'm actually, I didn't know that. Oh my God, awkward silence. The way I used to joke about, because my dad is dead and people know, the way I like to joke about it is to just laugh about it or like do some kind of dark humor, because like when you tell somebody your parents is dead, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, like
I swear. But for me, yeah, they died like a while back. Like I didn't even meet my dad at all, so I don't want to say I don't have any feelings about it, but I don't really do. Then my mom died when I was like 3 or 4, so it's not it's awkward when people are like, oh my God, because I don't really feel it as much anymore. Just yes, the absence is still there, but it's not as bad as people think.
Wow, that's different from me. Wow, I'm so sorry about that, babes. I just have to apologize about that. Wow, so this just, because my next question was going to be, how did you have parents that wanted you, or okay, not parents now, so did you have family members that kind of wanted to choose like a career path for you?
Oh yes, my siblings, because like I'm the last born and all my siblings are like way older than me. So what I did psychology, but initially I was doing pharmacy, and that wasn't my dream, it was their dream. In fact, they wanted medicine, but I wanted pharmacy. So imagine going from pharmacy to psychology. It was a struggle, a real struggle.
What do you think made them like want you to study what you studied before you switched?
Okay, so basically when I was in science class in secondary school. Yes, so if you're in science class, you know that it's either engineering, medicine, pharmacy, nursing, all those things. So when I told them I wanted psychology, they were like, psychology in Nigeria, where will you work? You'll be a counselor, like maybe in secondary school or something. So I understood where they were coming from, but that pharmacy wasn't my dream, and I didn't want medicine at all. I knew the stress that came with being a doctor, and I knew that was not for me, that was not for my personality. So I think the second best option for me was pharmacy at the time. Yeah.
Crazy, because with me, when my father was alive, he wanted all of us to be lawyers, and his reason behind it was so that we'll be coming to his aid. That was literally his reason. But it was so funny because my elder brother started with law. I did law as well. My younger brother couldn't do law because my dad died when my younger brother was 10. He was really young. We're all very young when my dad died. But after he died, my mom, on the other hand, was a do what you want to do with your life, but make sure that you're making bank. She would be, oh, if you want to be a musician, that's cool, but make sure you're making bank. So like, you know, I had that part in my childhood growing up, but like he died, like it wasn't a constant reminder, a constant bell, like do law. Even if I kind of wanted to do law, it wasn't like a push, because I just felt like I could do it. But then I realized that entertainment was what it was for me. Like I cannot be standing in front of a judge saying, oh my god, objection, like, and learning all those things. So yeah, it's understandable that you did that. So like the psychology that you did you enjoy studying it?
Yes, definitely I did. It was quite a switch from pharmacy, but it was something that I always wanted to do. Like I've always been interested in humans, like I've always been interested in the way we think, mostly because of myself, because I wanted to understand myself more. Like I said, I'm complicated. So psychology just seemed, it was eye-opening, the entire process throughout, and I even still want to go further with it. So yes, I enjoy psychology. I love what I did. I'm proud of what I did.
So would you say you read people a lot?
Yes, I do. I think I'm a good judge of character. I think I read people, but I'm not, I won't be the one to come and tell you up front. I'm just going to be on the sidelines and observe it and make my like judgment on it personally, but I'm not going to come and tell you, oh, I think you're this way, I think you're manipulative, I think, like, I don't think it's my place to do that. But yeah,
is it an unprovoked thing that you do, or is something, you know, like they're like this psychology thing, now do you unconsciously read people, or you just say, today I want to read this babe or this guy?
I think it happens unconsciously, especially when you actually study psychology, because you start to pick up some things in people. Yes, so it happens unconsciously, but there are times when I want to read someone, if I'm interested in someone or I think this person is some way and I want to really find out, then I really try to be more attentive to pick up something. So yes, it's both ways.
Nice. I want you to read me. This is so awkward, because you know it just reminded me of when like rappers, they go on TV shows. I'm a rapper, okay, rap for me.
God, I swear, see, at least you even said read me. People always tell me, okay, what am I thinking of? I'm not psychic. I read psychology. I don't know what you're thinking. I just pick up on like behavioral clues. Yes, so if I was going to read you, as you said,
well, let me ask, so read a good quality you think I have and a bad quality you think I have.
Okay, So a good quality I think you have is you are outspoken. You are assertive. Yes, that's what I think. You are assertive. You're not afraid to say your mind. Yes. But I think being assertive too can be seen as being, as in certain times you can be like you're overstepping. Yes, because sometimes some people don't want to hear it, even if you what you're saying makes sense. Just don't, you don't have to say it. Yeah, so that's just it.
So that's like the good quality and the bad quality. Okay, do you have hobbies? What are your hobbies? Like, what are things you genuinely enjoy doing?
Honestly, I don't know. I really don't know what I enjoy doing. Like, let me see. Before, I would say I like to watch movies, but growing up, when I say I was complicated, like, everything is changing. I think I'm constantly changing. So right now I'm still trying to figure out what I love, what I enjoy doing now. So that's, I think I enjoy nice conversations with people, but it's not all the time. But I enjoy talking to people, and if I'm enjoying the conversation, it can last as long as, so for now, talking.
So you're a good talker?
I can be.
Do you engage people in conversations, or they engage you?
Both ways. If I'm in an open space, or I'm in public, and maybe I'm trying to get to know people and stuff, I'm going to engage you. Like when I said I was adaptable, yeah. So whichever environment I find myself in, let me just use street slangs. Let me say if I'm in the trenches, I'm going to relate to you in the trenches way. We're going to talk about trenches shit. If I'm in a place that is more complicated, it's nice, then I know how to like navigate that place too. So it depends. If I don't want to get to know anybody, if I'm not interested, I'm going to be quiet. I'll let people come to me. But if I'm really hyped and I really want to, then yes, I would make the first move.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm in between. So I think they say I'm an ambivert or something. I think that's the word for it. I can be introverted sometimes. I can be extroverted sometimes. So it depends on my mood. It depends on the people around me. It depends on the energies around me. So that's it.
So aside all these things, now you don't have a hobby. You don't like to go to movies. You don't like to hang out with friends. Like, you don't like to eat biscuits. Like, you should have a hobby.
Okay, so I would say hang out with friends. If we put it that way, I like to hang out with friends. I like to hang out with people that I enjoy their company and people that I can be myself completely with. So yes, I like that. I like to have a drink sometimes. Yeah. So yeah, that's it.
Do you have dreams as a person? Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? But before you answer that, do you think you have dreams? Like, what are your dreams? If you can share, because some people don't like to share like me. So yeah, what are your dreams? And where do you see yourself in like 5-10 years?
I have dreams, but my dreams keep changing and shifting, and they're getting more complicated as it goes. But for now, I want to go into academia, so which is why I want to still do masters. And well, from masters, we'll see if I'm still interested, if I want to do a PhD. So I really want to go into academia. I really want to teach. Yes. So for now, that is it. It's academy. That's it for now.
What do you want to teach? Ugh.
Psychology.
So that's where you see yourself in 5 years, teaching, or you're done with masters, you're already finding like a career path?
Yes, I'm done with masters, I'm finding a career path. So for me, the part of psychology I would like to go into, I can do both. I can teach and I can still work in an office. Yes. So that's how I see myself in 5 years. So I want to do industrial psychology, and basically that's just psychology in the workplace to help people navigate their work lives. Everybody knows that most people hate their jobs, and I don't think it has to be like that. I think we can use psychology to make the workplace better. So that is my dream, to see how best I can improve people's lives in their workplace.
And like Nigeria as a country, they don't believe in, there are some things Nigerians don't believe in. I don't know if it's Nigerians or like black people, like therapy, you know, psychology and all those things that, you know, helps with you. Like, you know, like when you look at Nigerians, a lot of Nigerians have Tourette, a lot of Nigerians have OCD, but when you talk about it to an African parent, you'll be like, oh, God forbid, is the devil, is this. So it's like when you see people take you know, these things like psychology, you see them take it very important. It's kind of inspiring, to be honest. I don't know. It's just very inspiring.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I understand. Because anyway, with our generation, even with the Gen Z and everything, it's even getting better now. At least we are even open to it. So with the older generations, I don't think, if you tell them, maybe you tell your parents, ah, I'm feeling depressed. It's straight up, it's God forbid. Sorry. First thing that comes out from their mouth is, God forbid, you're not depressed. I'm taking you to church. Like, and these are things that, yes, we know that there's the spiritual. Of course, as Africans, we believe in the spiritual. But there are some things that just by talking to somebody, you can solve. You don't need to bind and cast everything. So, yeah.
Talking helps. A problem shared is a problem solved. I'll be waiting for that song.
I think a problem shared is half solved or something, whatever. I don't know.
Would you say this is you turning your hobby into like a profession?
Yes, I think so. I would say that since I like to talk, so yes, it's turning my hobby into a profession, because at the end of the day, owoni koko, everybody's looking for money. So yes.
When you hear invalid dreams, what comes to your mind?
When I hear invalid dreams, I think it's just the way our dreams are, basically, I'm almost going to repeat what you're saying, the way our dreams are invalidated in, let me say, in Nigeria. So, I think anybody can do anything, anywhere, but there are some things that you might have, or there are some plans, or there are some dreams you might have in Nigeria, and just because you're in this environment, it may not even come, like, it's not going to happen. Let me say, for example, now, someone who runs track, someone who's really good at running, the chances of you really taking that and going with it is hard. It's really hard in Nigeria, because the only sports we really focus on is football, and even that, we've not even gotten that yet. Then now think of a child that is coming up and you can run. Like, your parents would tell you, please go and do medicine, or go and be a doctor, go and, like, and you understand, because it's not easy in this country. So that's what I have said.
Yeah, because, like, it's really weird at the end of the day, because invalid dreams, to me, I don't know, if would you say it's like a Nigerian thing or a world thing? So do you think Nigeria makes it worse, or it's just we can't really speak because we don't live abroad? We live in Nigeria, so we're speaking from a Nigerian experience.
I think we are speaking from a Nigerian experience, because we don't live abroad. We don't know what's happening abroad. I can't even say what's happening in Ghana. But I can't say what's happening in my country. I can say from what I've experienced. So I say mostly we speak from our Nigerian experience. We speak from what we've gone through, what we've seen. So that's it.
And like the government as a whole, yeah, fuck you guys, to be honest. Because we see athletes that they don't take seriously. Do you know, like, when I think about Nigeria, you know what, let's just get down into this. I think about Nigeria, as a failed state. Because Nigeria, we could be getting money from different ventures. We could be getting money from tourism. We could be getting money from aviation. We could be getting money from our athletes. Nigeria, we are 200 million. In fact, all these people that are doing DNA tests now, they are all 50% Nigerian.
So we are way more than 200 million. See, we are many.
Do you understand? So we're a lot in the country. So it's like we're a talented bunch. You go to America, you see that the people on the top are Nigerians who left Nigeria, went abroad, studied, and then started working there and topped, you know, the profession there. But we don't even like, there was something that happened with the Nigerian basketball team, the women Nigerian basketball team. The government just neglected them. I remember last year they came on social media, they were ranting, saying that the government did not do anything, that, you know, like, and they were doing really good abroad. I think they scored against America or so. They were doing really good. It's just they needed the country to kind of push them, and then the country, like, is even this rubbish that Buhari just even did on the timeline where he neglected the flood guys.
Korea, like, you've not talked about what is happening in your country. People are dying. This flood has been on for over how many weeks now? and something happens in Korea, no one says you should not acknowledge what is happening outside the country. But you've not even said what is happening in the country already. You're telling people, like, who are you? Condolence for what? What about us here?
It's just crazy because you would have a whole passion, you would have a whole dream. But being Nigerian, the thought of being Nigerian alone can just destroy it. It literally can just destroy. Like, when I tell people that when I start to talk about Nigeria, I can just cry. I will not even know when the tears will just start coming from my eyes. Nigeria is a failed state. Nigeria does not help your dreams. You want to work, you want to be a doctor. The system doesn't pay you well. You want to be a lawyer. Nothing pays. And it's so weird because when we were younger, our parents would say, oh my God, study engineering, study law, study medicine. You will find a career path. You will find job. Like, I mean, like, there are doctors who are earning 50K.
At the end of the day, in Nigeria, what works is nepotism. You have to know somebody that will help you get there. That is it. Not saying that you should not work hard. Not saying that when you go to school, you shouldn't study hard. You shouldn't get those good grades and everything. But even with getting those good grades, we know that you need to know somebody to know somebody. So it's just messed up. It's already rigged. You've not even tried, but you know that the odds are already against you. So yeah, it's
even in the entertainment industry, like, nepotism is really everywhere. And me, I can't even lie. I was telling my friend the other day, I don't have a problem with nepotism if the person that got the nepotism, the favor, is actually talented. It's one thing for you to know that, oh, you are in Nigeria, but I'm talented and I'm in Nigeria, but I need somebody to get somewhere. Then it becomes, I deserve it, but I just had to use your rule way. Other than, you know, you don't deserve it. You know, you do not work hard for this thing. It's just because you know you knew somebody and then they put you in a position to be earning big money. Like, man, like, I just want to cry. Talking about Nigeria is so sad. Like,
honestly, it's what you're saying actually makes total sense, because if maybe you know someone but you have the talents, you're trained for this job or whatever it is, then that makes sense. But you see someone that doesn't know anything. I'm not going to call names, but I know someone, yeah, that got a job with this oil company. I'm not going to call the oil company, but they got a job. And I kid you not, it was someone else I know that was coaching him, that was helping him do the job. And that other person, they wrote the exam together. That other one failed though, but he knew someone, so he got the job. The one that was helping him do the job didn't get anything. He still doesn't have a job now, but he basically does the job for the other one working with the oil company. So when you see things like that, it's like, so why? Why did this guy go to school? Why did he struggle when he could have just come and looked for one uncle that will help him get a job? It's messed up, man. It's messed up.
And that's why people don't even believe in education. Now, let me say something. In America, they believe so much in education. Like, because it's kind of like when you go to college is a big deal in America. So when you go to college, you are guaranteed to find a well-paying job, like $80,000, $100,000 a year. But Nigeria, nobody really wants to go to school because, first of all the schools are on strike. And nobody has 3 million to be given a private school. So there's that. Then you now come out. Imagine me going to a private school now, paying millions, coming out and there's no job. Like, then what's the point of all the money? If at the end of the day, what would have gotten me that job is because my uncle is this, or my daddy knows this person that knows this person. But abroad, before you get that job, nepotism there's nepotism abroad, but like, that college, like, they take it so seriously because they feel like college to them there, they just feel like is a process that you cannot get anywhere, that you have to get it in that college, you have to do 4 years, you have to constantly make researches and all of that. Like, I don't know, man.
Honestly, I agree with you because, yes, there's nepotism everywhere. Yes, you can't deny that. But a typical example would be for, like, people that run for presidency abroad. You have to go to an Ivy League to even run, even if you know someone. No problem. Like the Bushes, George Bush and his father, but all of them had to go to Ivy League schools. It's set here. Here in Nigeria, even the WAEC results of our present president, we already know that one, in fact, God, it's so messed up. Like, why is secondary school certificate that's what we're using to give someone president to rule an entire country. Like, what do you know? Think of it. After secondary school, what did you know? Like, what did you actually know? And someone is sitting there and you have only WAEC results. Sure, okay.
After secondary school, what did I know? Honestly, all I know in life, of course, like, I went to a very good university. Of course, they taught me a lot of things. But, like, most of the things I know in life now is basically experience. Nigeria opens your eyes to hard work. And I always complain about, I hate that the world is set up in a way that before you succeed, you have to sort of beg. You have to be on your lowest. Like, Nigerian parents, I don't think they believe that you shouldn't get something without sweating. They like to see you sweat. They like to see you crumble. They like to see you beg. Like, what do you think is the idea behind that mentality?
I honestly don't know. I know people always say hard work pays. Me, personally, I don't believe in hard work. I don't. I believe if there's a way to make it easier. I believe in smart work. Because you can work hard and you will not succeed. You need to work smart. It's not hard work. You toil, you do this, you do that, and then you finish and you're just relying on pension from governments after all your hard work. I don't believe in hard work personally. So me, I don't know where they got that ideology from. So maybe it's, I don't know. But I would like to say it's from farming. If you till the soil. Honestly, I really don't know. I don't know, man.
What do you think are the things that makes a dream invalid? Like, what are the different ventures, like, for Nigeria now, corruption. So what do you think makes a dream become invalid?
First of all, I think the person that has the dream, like, how let's use Nigeria for example, how resilient are you? Because you need, if you have, especially if you have a big dream, if you have a non-conventional dream, you have to be resilient because you know that the pushback is going to be crazy. So I'm not saying it's going to be easy, like anything that happens, you just chest it, the next thing you've moved on. But you need to have at the back of your mind that, see, this thing is not going to be easy, but this is what I want, so I'm going to go for it no matter what comes. And two, you need to have people around you that at least can support you, people that believe in you. Even if at first they don't believe in you, maybe if you start going forward, you try your best, at least have people that will back you up. Because honestly, at the end of the day, it's not a one-man squad. You cannot do everything on your own. So you need a supportive family, supportive friends, supportive environment. You also need an enabling environment. And
do you know you actually answered that question backwards? I asked you what makes a dream invalid, not valid. Oh, but sorry. Personally, I think what makes a dream invalid is money. Like, money kills dreams. If you don't get money, your dream will scatter everywhere, sha.
Money. Like, I've already said it before. Owo ni koko. Money. We need money for everything. No matter what.
And you need money to make money.
Yes. So, like, this thing always makes me so upset. You need money to make money. But what if you don't have money? So where do you get the money to make the money?
That's why there are loans.
Loans. In this Nigeria.
Do you know what I used to tell my mom? I used to tell my mom, anybody that goes to bank to loan money, you are in a big wahala. Because if you borrow money from bank, you are in deep shit.
All those loan sharks. That will send messages to your entire contacts, even people you don't talk to. Loans in Nigeria. I think maybe you just meet family members or friends to, like, put something together for you. But I'm never going to advise anybody to take a loan. And especially in this country, don't take a loan. Please.
There's nothing they will not take. Your house, your car, your mother's insurance. There is nothing.
If you're a babe, they will take your wig. I promise you, they will take everything. They will take your bone straight. Please.
Nigeria, invalid dreams. Nigeria is a place where you can wake up, you go out, you will just die. Because, Nigeria is not a nice place. And our government, we need to do a lot. That's why another reason why we need to vote right as human beings. But, like, there are people who say that there are a lot of people I currently know that do not have their PVCs because they plan on leaving the country in January, in February, in December, which is okay. But it's like, see what Nigeria as a failed state has cost. There are people who are fleeing from the country. There are people who have turned London to their 27 states. There are people who have, you know, it's just a lot. It's just a lot. Because Nigeria, the insecurity in Nigeria is booming. That you would go out, you will literally see your partner. You cannot come back home that night because you died on the road. And your partner will just be there waiting for you 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m. They will go to police. Police cannot even do anything. Olokpa. That's why they are called Olokpa. They can't even do anything. Like, to start to talk about this country and to start to talk about how much the country has killed our dreams, you can be thinking big, like, oh my God, I can't wait to do this as this. I can't wait to do that. You just remember that you're a Nigerian and you just ease. Like, you... And just close whatever thoughts that you have. I don't know. Do you have anything to say? I don't know, man.
If I start talking, I will say the same thing. Because, and I don't even want it to be like we're just complaining about Nigeria and Nigeria. Like, at the end of the day, yes, I'm still proud to be a Nigerian, Niger for life. Mm-hmm. But when a country is frustrating you as much as Nigeria is frustrating us, especially now, there's like, I don't have any good thing to say, honestly, apart from entertainment, apart from Afrobeats. That is all we have. That, see, all this our mouths, Nigeria, they carry last. It's only Afrobeats, so that is all. Every other place we're carrying last.
Sports, we're carrying last. Government, we're carrying last. Road infrastructure, everything, we are last place.
Government minus negative, everything. Please.
Anyways, I think we've come to the end of this segment. But don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after the break to give you people our take-home salary.
Okay, yeah.
This is the SNM podcast brought to you by me, the biggest brand, Stephanie Nomombachu. Subscribe, comment, like, rate, share, and follow the podcast. And now back to the motherfucking episode. All right, Mimi, so what would you like the listeners to take home from this episode? Let them tap into your knowledge, let them tap into your glory. Let's go.
Okay, so I know that for the most part of this episode we've been complaining, we've been talking about Nigeria, but even in a failed state, even in Nigeria, you still have to try. I want everyone, like, we still have to try no matter what. That's basically what I want to tell you. Try. Even if you think or it looks like the odds are against you, don't stop. Because if you stop, then you're never going to succeed. It's never going to happen for you. I know there are some days where you need to chill. You need to take a break. You need to cry. You need to act like, you know what, if today is my last day, let me just chop life. Let me just enjoy. But even after those days, try. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your plans. Don't give up on whatever it is you set out your mind to do. Keep on trying. That's my take home.
Yeah, and there's this thing, just to add to what you said, there was something Cardi said in her songs, that she will fall 9 times but she will get up 10 times. So that's the 9th time she fell, she has to stand up, because, like, she knows what she's looking for in this life. And she knows, like, this was when she was literally still broke. She knew, like, where she saw herself in life. So it's like, in as much as Nigeria is a failed state, you just have to try. Because at the end of the day, you know how people always make fun and say, God, please, I'm not your strongest soldier. You are still a soldier, if I'm being honest.
No matter what you are, even if you are a lokpa, you are still something. You're still in the armed forces. So please, try. That's all.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, perfect.
You know what time is when you hear this, right?
Let's get ready to rumble!
Run up! Run up! Run up!
Are you ready for the game?
Yes, I am.
Are you ready?
I've put on my game face. I'm ready.
Game time, guys! So, for this one, I'm gonna ask Mimi to recite ABCD. So when I tell her to stop, on the letter I tell her to stop, she's going to give me the name of a person, animal, place, or thing. What's the name of that game that they used to call it?
I don't even know.
Concentration.
Okay, concentration, yes. Concentration.
Okay. So, are you ready to say ABCD?
Yes.
Game time, game phase. Let's go.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J.
Stop. So, give me the name of a person, animal, place, or thing. Are you ready?
Okay, so person, Jeff. Place, Johannesburg. Animal, jackal. What again?
Theme.
Juice?
No, baby.
Jet.
Yay! That was actually good. And I know that the episode was all cry, but like at the end of the day, like, we'll still play the game. Do you have anything to say?
I enjoyed this. I really liked it, so hope to see you guys soon.
Bye.
That was good. Thank you.
Deep Negro Sigh. We are so sorry that we've come to the end of this amazing and entertaining episode. But the good news is, I will be here with another guest, same day, same time, next week. So come back, okay? I love you so, so much. Bye.